the whole bandwagon of following England is just bonkers. And they win a game and it's like, well, they're the best team in the world, and they're so not.
OTB AM, weekdays from 7:30 AM. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.
Delighted to welcome Vinny Perth to the show. Good morning to you, Vinny.
Morning, how are you?
How's things? Yeah, good. Let's get straight into that then. We were just hearing from Shane Duffy. It did seem that the move to the three at the back, at least from his perspective, suited him.
Yeah, I think what we've seen is a guy who went into camp, he looks really fit. So I think he used those sort of that week, 10 days, to get himself up another level in terms of fitness. He obviously played his way into the manager's thoughts and he got a game. So I think as a footballer, whether you're a coach, player, manager, you love to finish the season well. So I think mentally for him, that's huge. I think you take the break now. Where his next move is, I think he could end up anywhere, but we've heard rumours of clubs like Forest, etc. What Shane is he's a proper defender who doesn't like to play on teams that have too much of the football at times, but he showed last night his passing range can be decent in the back three. And I think he was part of, I suppose, what you would call an excellent away performance, and he's very much suited to that style of defending where, listen, it wasn't just his body on the line, but he made some great blocks at different stages. You could tell him and Egan's organisation skills were excellent. So it was a great finish to it. What's been a really difficult season for him. And I think as a football person, you always have huge sympathy for what Shane has gone through the last 12 months. So, and people would be smart-arsed on social media about someone like Shane and his former Celtic, but the impact of what's happened to him in terms of his father looks like it's been a huge part of sort of his difficulties, I would say, over the past 12 months. So really delight for him, and just shows you good man management. And with a player like that, instead of binning him off, he stuck with him and it's paid off for us. And hopefully that's the start of Shane rebuilding his career last night.
How significant was it that Stephen Kenny did change his formation to accommodate three at the back?
I wasn't surprised by it at all. I think away from home, I think we've seen some of that of late. I like the idea of Andorra not playing three at the back because I think we've seen that in the Luxembourg game. The problem with that 3-4-1-2 situation is you don't hurt teams in wide areas. And albeit Ireland weren't great against Andorra, but you're more attack-minded in the other shape, I would say. So I wasn't too surprised. I think we'll see them do that against Portugal in the next game in particular. So I wasn't too surprised, but it was an opportunity for me again to continue to work on the system, be aware on the training ground. So it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I think they see probably that suits most of their best players. I think Ireland might play that 3-4 whatever forward after that shape a lot more going forward, particularly away from home. As I said, I thought it was a perfect away performance, but there's definitely areas of improvement, but a great away performance.
Vinny, does that system lend itself to playing out from the back the way Ireland attempted to last night? Because by playing three at the back, you're sacrificing somebody maybe in midfield, and it did feel as though that when the centre-backs took the ball off Gavin Bazunet, they looked up and quite often there was nobody there for them. And particularly in the first 5-10 minutes, it made it a very nervy start. They just couldn't get out of their own defensive third.
Yeah, so there's two ways of that, Nathan. So first of all, and he did do it to a point last night. First of all, the reason you play out from the back is not to look good on the eye and say, wow, I'm not a great coach, I play out from the back. If you remember Addison's clearance to Zinchenko in the semi-final of Champions League, it's a long ball, long pass. So what Ireland started to do last night was mix it up a little bit, and you sort of hungry went and pressed Ireland, and you knocked the ball over the press, and that then creates a little bit of space. So why you play out from the back is not, as I say, it's not to look good on the eye. Yes, that's great as a coach, but it's to create something for the forward. So that's the first thing. And I think we started to do that. So and the players will understand that. And there would definitely, I would imagine, be information on this camp about, look, why we're trying to play out from the back is to create something for the forward. So we started to see that a little bit last night. There was one or two occasions where you even seen the ball gone long and it's James McLean as the wing back going for the header. He won a couple of them and there breaks of the ball. If Ireland picked that up, Hungary have six players forward pressing them. So it's a great tactic. The other key to it and for me is, just like you explained, the importance of someone like Josh Cullen in that system. And I don't think he's been excellent over the last couple of games. And I think that's, if you're going to play this system, that's a slight concern for me in terms of where is Josh Cullen at? Because what I mean by that, he's got to knit the whole play together. So we're not seeing enough of Josh Cullen getting it off one centre-half and switching it to an opposite fullback. So, or if James McLean checks inside, he should give it to Josh Cullen, who then switches the play out to Matt Doherty. And we're not seeing that at the moment. And that's a concern for me. I'm not saying Josh just was okay last night. I would say to you, he's safe at the moment. He's finding his feet at international level, which is fine. But we've got to speed that process up if we're going to get better. So that's where the challenge in the system is. We've a lot of good midfielders. In, if you think about it, Hendrick and Alan Brown and James McCarthy, just near Hourihane, I think, I felt Hourihane looked, people were sort of critical of him last night, but I felt there was a real confidence in his passing range. Yes, he should have done better and he should have passed more, etc. But he looks like he belongs in the team, where Cullen doesn't yet. And I looks like the manager has huge faith in him. And I presume from training, et cetera, he sees more in them than I'm currently seeing. But that's a big key for that system for me, is Josh Cullen has to be better and make us play from that deep defensive midfield role.
Is there an alternative there, Vinny? Like Josh Cullen is only 9 caps, so maybe you got to stick with him, because it does feel, you know, you can't be half pregnant. And Ireland at the moment feel a bit like that.
Yeah,
we're trying to play out from the back. All those things you're saying, where if it works well and it's quick and you're releasing the fullbacks, it's brilliant to watch. And actually, when the game opened up in the last 20 minutes, it felt as though Ireland were a lot better at doing that. But is there a player that can, like, it feels like it's a crucial role in the entire team for this system to work?
Yeah, so what we've learned is we have to play two defensive midfielders. We learned that early on the campaign. We're a bit too open. And we didn't play with three at the back, of course. So I think it's about the combinations and finding the right combinations of two guys. And people won't want to hear it in terms of we're starting to. But maybe it is, like, whether it's Hourihane and Jeff Hendrick with two people ahead of them, like we've seen last night in Knight and Parrott and this type of system. Maybe it's more people who have a little bit more confidence, a little bit more understanding of their game, played at a high level for such a long time. So in Hendrick in the Premiership, Hourihane at the level he's at, it may be along them lines. The challenge we have, and not to duck your question, is in a couple of months' time, we don't know where Jeff Hendrick is in for the Portugal game in terms of his form. He can't really get into the Newcastle team. James McCarthy has been released out of Crystal Palace. Where does Alan Brown go in terms of his... he would play, so for me, he's a big chance. Where does Avila, where does Conor Hourihane go in terms of his game? So there's a lot there. Where is Robbie Brady at in terms of his career? So we're in a little transitional period in central midfield where we have a lot of decent players. But I think if Stephen's going to persist with this system, which I think he is, I think that's crucial. And unfortunately, there's no easy answer. There's no one sticking out there where you go, well, he should be playing him because at least he'll need to play together. So we're going to struggle in that situation.
That's really interesting, because like, it did seem last night that if there was a midfielder who might be in trouble for the next game, it might be Conor Hourihane. But from what you're saying there, it actually is going to be Cullen.
Well, no, that's my personal opinion. But yeah, if you remember late in the game, Cullen got robbed on the ball. He got the ball off one of the centre-halves. I don't think he has at the moment, whether it's something the staff can work on. He has that. It's very difficult to explain to you where he receives it from the right-hand side and they call it open the body out and go out to the left. I don't think he has that. And he got robbed really late in the game where ball into his feet, two Hungarian players just came all over him and he lost it, and it was a 4v3, but Ireland ended up getting a good block. He apologised. And I understand people were a little bit critical of Hourihan, but I just felt on the eye, and it's just my eyes, he's more comfortable at that level. Yeah. Cullen may become a better player, but I think Hourihan looks more comfortable at that level in terms of getting it off one of the centre halves and switching it to their side. Because when you do that, then it's difficult for teams to press you because you can't have players everywhere. So for me, that's an important role. Not being critical of Cullen, he's only 25, which is quite young in terms of his international career. But he's got to go up another level or two for me in that system.
There's confidence level as well, I guess, within that squad are probably at a low point. It's interesting you mentioned that moment where Cullen lost the ball, because I think back to the game against Luxembourg, and Matt Doherty gets a lot of criticism around the Ireland team, but he spent the majority of that game out on the right-hand side in acres of space. He had the freedom of that right-hand side. And when he was back at Wolves, Willy Bolly would get the ball at left back for Wolves, or left of the three, and he'd play a 40-yard ball, and suddenly Matt Doherty would be free. Or Jean Moutinho dropped deep and he could play a 60-yard ball because he had that in his locker, and suddenly Doherty was free. Ireland didn't have that player to release him and utilise all that Matt Doherty's good about. If they don't have that player, does Stephen Kenny need to recognise maybe they don't have that player and actually this system doesn't suit Ireland?
Yeah, but no, I think he's in a position now where I think he's seen three at the back, 3-4. Again, we can debate that another day, 1-2 or 2-1, whatever way you want to call it. I think that system suits his better players. Enda Stevens is suited to that system. I think Matt Doherty is suited to that system. But I have to be careful here. It's not an assassination of Cullen in terms of performance. It's improving on last night. So in the Luxembourg game, as you mentioned, Cullen never once passed the ball to Matt Doherty. And I thought Mark Doherty at times looks a little bit slow on the ball, a little bit. But we need to get him away on the game quicker. And the example you use of the switch of play, actually, ironically, he done it last night, if you remember, from a throw-in. The ball gets set, and he switched it from his right-hand side all the way over to James McLean on the other side. And that's how you beat a press, and that's how you beat teams, and having that doesn't look like anything. It looks like a 70-yard switch of play. And then James McLean is away on the other side. And we've got to do that a little bit more. And that's why I think the importance of Cullen and Hourihan and whoever plays in the midfield is crucial for this team to improve. But I think now, particularly away from home and against the top sides, you're going to see this system. So I think they've got to just improve on it. Improve on it. Because Hungary away and Serbia away, where we more or less used it, were probably our two best performances in this new regime. So I think he's going to have to stick with it, but also show adaptability in terms of if you're home to a Luxembourg or away to an Andorra, you probably need to change up your team ever so slightly.
What about Jason Knight then, Vinny? Because you've been speaking with us quite a bit about Ireland's need for a number 10. Is there a future for him in that role, at least as Ireland's most advanced midfielder, if you want to use the number 10 phrase or not, with regards to Jason Knight? That seems to be where he seems to be popping up.
Yeah, and this is where it's a bit early in the day. I was a little bit frustrated last night. I don't think he played necessarily as the 10. Mm. So I don't want to go into loads of detail. People get lost. But I thought if you want to use it in a good example of the Champions League final, the way Chelsea played, I thought there was, and I know even Steven said we're going to play 3-4-1-2 pre-match, but the position of Troy Parrott was so deep that Knight actually played quite off the left, if that makes sense, in similar to what Mount and Ziyech did in the Champions League final. So I think that's the system they're looking to get to, for me, from watching. So Knight sort of played off the left, but as I said to you guys before, that you get two different types of 10. You get that silky, the one that knits the play together, loads of beautiful touches, all of that stuff. But the modern day 10 covers the biggest amount of distance on the pitch for teams in terms of the runs Knight made in behind. Didn't get the ball enough. It's something they need to improve on. And also the cover position, when Ireland didn't have it, he was in lots of really good cover position against their players. So he's emerged. That's the key to it all. If you remember the under 21 setup, he didn't really play. Malumbi and Conor Coventry were ahead of him, in the Irish team, Parrott played, etc. And now he's emerged because of his form at Derby. And that's where we're at with Ireland and the amount of young players we have. I think Jason Knight has emerged massively. It looks like a move maybe on the cards because Derby needs some money, a move to a higher level, which is good for him. There's some talk of Brighton. And he's jumped the queue of people like Malumbi, Conor Coventry, as I said, who's the Ireland 21 captain. And he looks like a player that I really rate. He looks like the one that could knit the play together for us. So real positive was Jason Knight in this window. And he's taken, I watch a lot of championship football, and he's taken his form from Derby into the international setup. So he's got a real future for him. Whether it's him or Alan Brown, or him and Alan Brown in them sort of midfield positions, I think that's a real positive for Ireland, and we could hurt teams with their sort of running power from midfield. So it's a real positive, Jason Knight.
Vinny, you mentioned maybe there Jason Knight at times, they're trying to get him into a sort of Ziyech Mount role, and Ireland are also playing three at the back in the way Chelsea do. Does that suggest to you that Anthony Barry's having a big influence on tactics and what Stephen Kenny's trying to do?
Yes and no, because ultimately the manager makes the decision. So, I think it's well known. I'm really close to Stephen, but we actually try not to discuss football with him. I spent an hour with him a couple of weeks ago at a League of Ireland game. Didn't discuss the Ireland international setup. So, but for me looking in, people are saying Ireland played 3-4-1-2 with Parrott up front with Adam Haddad. I don't think they did. I think whether it was by design or because of Troy Parrott's positional sense, they certainly looked like that sort of Chelsea combination was coming out in terms of the two number 10s playing in the system. And I like that system. I think it suits the two players quite well in terms of what they're looking to do. And if you remember, the biggest goal in the last 12 months was the Champions League final, Mount for Ziyech, Mount off the left. And I think that's what they tried to replicate to a point. So if Anthony Barry's in the group there, they can discuss that. If what Thomas Tuchel is doing, what Chelsea players are able to do on the training ground, that can be replicated. That can only be good for the Irish international setup. And also remember, the players listening to Anthony Barry on the training ground or in a video session is looking at someone who's won the Champions League. So therefore, the level of respect them players will have for him is huge. So that's a massive positive that his team are trying to play the same way as the Irish international team or vice versa. So I think that's a massive positive for Ireland. But ultimately, I think Stephen would have decided to shape himself and then brought it to his staff, if that makes sense. So, but it's a huge positive for them.
Just one last quick one on the midfield, Vinny, before, because I do want to get into Ida and Parrott. Jason Malumbi's introduction looked like the key that Ireland needed in the first half, where they were struggling to get that ball between the lines. Malumbi was picking up the ball in deep positions, going on these surging runs. Was that just because the game had opened up in the second half, or is there actually a stylistic opportunity for Malumbi here in this Ireland midfield?
I think Malumbi's huge energy. I think he needs to go on and play. This is a big summer from wherever he ends up. Does he break into that Brighton team? And sometimes pre-seasons are great for young players. Just arrive into the first team. So I think it's a big summer for him. But I think the game opened up. I think it opened up completely different. I think Hungary wanted to win the game. Obviously, the last game before the Euro, so they were a little bit more attack-minded. And then, particularly late on a warm day, the introduction of someone with the legs of him was huge in terms of the way that the game evolved in those last 10, 15 minutes. So I think it was a combination of both. But, we can't criticise a manager for games and games by not having a little bit of experience in his team, a little bit of experience in midfield. And then when he doesn't start someone young and come the other way. So I think it's a difficult midfield for Stephen to find the right balance. The best way I can explain to you is I think we've lots of good midfielders. I'm crying out for 2-3 midfielders that hit top form in pre-season in early August, ahead of the Portugal game. And I think he could name a lot of the team now ahead of Portugal. I don't think he can name the midfielders yet because of there's no one there grabbing that jersey in terms of their club form or international form.
That is, you say midfield, and listen, maybe in September it doesn't matter as much because all players are going to be in a similar position. They're just off pre-season. The Portuguese players are going to have probably a shortened pre-season because they'll have been at the European Championship. So maybe actually match fitness and game time doesn't matter as much in September. But for the positives that have been there, a lot of those same problems remain. You've touched on the midfield issues and the amount of players whose club careers are up in the air. It's a similar situation up front. We have no idea what is going to happen with Troy Parrott and Adam Ida over the next year. Adam Ida may force his way into the Norwich team and play 25 times in the Premier League, or Norwich may go and use that Buendia money and spend 25 million on another player to play with Teemu Pukki, and Adam Ida finds himself out on loan. Troy Parrott, God knows what's going to happen when Spurs appoint a manager. Like, that is the frustration at the moment, that a lot of what Ireland need to kick on is totally out of Stephen Kenny's hands.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, I've come on here and tactically being critical of Stephen in terms of the Luxembourg game and different stages, and that's where there's got to be balance around the argument of the manager of Ireland at the moment, and they're in such a difficult position. Wouldn't it be great if we had, like, our two goalkeepers, we had players, at the same time, they're crying out for football as well. We're in a big transitional period where we have to respect the value of blooding these young players, Knights and Malumbi and Ida and Troy Parrott. And the manager has given them a real opportunity. And it's almost, I keep using this phrase of building a national team like a club side. So sometimes he has to ignore club form, particularly when there's a short gap between windows. He has to ignore club form and play what he feels is best to suit the team. Well, the difference is when you look at Abonya last night, you look at Adam Ida, Troy Parrott, he's put them in the shop window by actually playing them in terms of clubs in the Championship looking for players on loan. Because I think we have to be okay. If our players are playing at the Championship level, we have to be okay with that. That's good enough. We have to get away from, years ago we had X amount of players playing the Premiership. It would be great if they were all playing there. But the Championship is good enough level. You look at Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, what they've been able to do in the last couple of years, with mainly based off the Championship. Scotland now have moved on to the next level where a lot of Premiership players. But I think it's just important that the players get that little bit of luck now. And it's important that the manager gives them their head, gives them an opportunity into an international window, that managers in the Championship will, and scouts will have watched these games. So that's why it's important that Stephen was very loyal to the young players to give them that opportunity. So I think it's been a great window for a lot of them players. Like Troy Parrott will come away from that really positive, asking questions to Spurs. Where am I going? What am I doing? Who am I playing for? Can I go on loan if I'm not going to be on the first team? Adam Ida has to be asked the same questions at Norwich. I've become an Irish international here. Can you not back me and let me go and play with Pukki? And if not, I want to go and play in the Championship. So I think that's where the manager has managed them players well in this window, and that's where it's positive.
Is your gut feeling that Ida and Parrott can be an attacking duo for Ireland long into the future?
Yeah, I think stylistically, I think that's what Stephen likes. Troy Parrott comes, he's got that little bit of vision, he has that little bit of more, what would you say, more skill, that pick out passes, but also he's a brilliant finisher, Parrott. But I think what Adam Ida does as he gets better is he leads the line. I don't think he was brilliant at leading the line last night, but I think him as a focal point. Remember, we're looking at a young guy who can't get into the Norwich team, 19, 20 years of age, and we're not crying out saying he should have started. Who should he have started instead of him last night? So there's not like, it's not like the debate at right back. It's not like the debate in midfield. It's not like the debate in goalkeeping situation. I don't think we've much choice other than to make an international centre forward out of this guy until someone else comes along and grabs the jersey. And at the moment, there's no one else there. So I think he has to, at the moment, he has to. And what Stephen has done with him has given him confidence that will help his career long term, and people have to see that a little bit and understand what Stephen has done with Adam Ida there. He's given him a real chance and a platform for him to build his career because of his international form.
One last one then, Vinny. Bazunu or Kelleher, who's in the box seat there?
You're like, every time I come onto the show, you just get me in trouble with League of Ireland. I have to go Kelleher, but Shamrock Rovers fans won't be happy. But to be fair, what a mess. It's a great headache to have. I just think Kelleher just edges it for me in terms of his experience at first team level, and in terms of being out, like, he hasn't been phased in Champions League football. He's done, he looked, he, what I like about both of them is they've got two world class goalkeepers as the number ones in Ederson and Alisson. And good goalkeepers do this. I've seen it. You can see traits of Alisson in Kelleher, and you can see traits of Ederson in Bazuna as well. So that's really positive. But I wouldn't be worried no matter who starts. But for me, I'd pick Heavey and Kelleher.
You wouldn't be worried about the lack of game time, Vinny? Because we are in a situation, like every other part, where Kelleher may play five games.
I think it's going to be an issue for Bolton. But again, you have to make the argument this. It's different if Randolph was playing, even in the Championship. He's not playing. I think the advantage Kelleher has is if we're going to play out from the back and then chip balls into fullbacks and midfield, he has that in spades. So he suits the manager's style more than anybody else, I would say to you. It's not to say Zuna can't do it, but I would say he suits the style of play more than anyone else. And that's why, for me, Kevin Kelleher should be Ireland's number one going forward. Now, like all the players, he needs some game time, and not too quickly. We look at Phil Foden at Manchester City. He's now supposedly worth 180 million. And everyone screamed, he needs to play. Sometimes you need to be around the very best in the world. And I think he's around Alisson. So I think that's okay for short term. But in time, of course, he'll need to play regular games. But we're in a brilliant situation in goal, and the future's really bright in that position.
Yeah, it certainly is. Vinny, great stuff as ever. Thanks a million for taking the call.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.